You're about to watch what we call an extended clip of the Young Turks. And the reality is it's somewhere in the middle. It's a little longer than our YouTube clips, but it's actually shorter than the whole 2-hour show, which you can get if you're a member. You can get it ad free and make sure you catch every news story we do that day. You're going to love it as a full show. That's at tytnetwork.com/join. Thanks for watching. All right. Welcome to the Young Turks. Cenk Uygur, John Iadarola on a lovely Wednesday evening for you guys in most parts of the country. Giant show ahead for you guys. We got the walkouts that are happening all across the country. We got Connor Lamb victory in Pennsylvania.
You spoiled the surprise.
Yeah, sorry.
Nobody knew.
Yeah. Damn. All right. Surprise. Okay. Anyway. Later in the program, we will vote on the dumbest statement of Donald Trump within the last 24 hours. Now, that's a tough competition, as you'll see. There is significant contenders there. It just in 24 hours. It's amazing. Yeah. Okay. But we got too much show for you. Let's get started.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's a fast one. Okay. Well, then let's do it. Earlier today, many thousands of students across the country and, in fact, across the world participated in the National School Walkout Day. That takes place on the 1-month anniversary of the mass shooting at the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida. Using the hashtag Enough is Enough, the protest lasted 17 minutes, one minute for each person murdered in Parkland. And I also saw, I mean, it was mainly a lot of high schools, but elementary schools as well. I believe I saw a tweet about one second grader who was walking, he was the only kid, and there were none others, so he went to the local high school and walked with them, and he had a sign that said, guns are cruel, not cool. And he was a second grader, which is just amazing. And so obviously they're doing this both to highlight the continuing need for action, of which there has been extremely little. There was a very mixed bill in Florida, and earlier today the House passed just about the most weak sauce school violence prevention bill imaginable. I'm assuming that many of the students at these marches want far more, and they're making clear that they're going to continue their activism toward that, and they expect politicians who stand in the way of that change to be held accountable in the primaries coming up and certainly in the general election later on today. We're going to have some more details about the breadth of these marches, but Cenk, what's your reaction?
So some folks that are superintendents, principals across the country are not allowing their students to march. Barbara Canavan, a superintendent in Hartford County, Maryland, said that instead she's going to do a learning module, which sounds fun, which allows them to speak about solutions in a structured way. Well, that's part of the problem, is that they keep telling everybody, just stay within the lines, stay within the lines. And well, within the lines, have we gotten anything done? No. Are we ever going to get anything done? No. Okay. So people are tired of being told to stay within the lines and just do as the establishment tells you and the elites tell you, and everything's going to be fine. It's not going to be fine. It's not fine right now. That's the whole point of the walkout. Mm-hmm. And then some administrators in these schools, in fact, I saw two different quotes from two different parts of the country saying, oh, what are you, crazy? We're not going to participate in this. I mean, you have the kids walk out and they'll be sitting ducks for shooters. That might give you a sense of why you should do something about it. How could you say that and then not realize the importance of the gravity of these walkouts? That's precisely why they're walking out, because you think it's a normal state of affairs that if you have students outside your school, it's inviting a massacre.
You can't leave the castle, Cenk, obviously. This is a fortress. It's the only thing protecting our kids. So thankfully, they're not coloring inside of the lines. And there were some schools I saw that had, as I said, one individual student who went out. I know I saw BET had tweeted out a live streamed video of a student who he was the only one, but he went there. And some kids, look, some schools are super supportive of it, and some aren't. And the kids who are willing to go out there anyway, that is exactly the type of teen that we need in this country right now. And I totally agree with Cenk about the need to not listen to the administrators in this particular case. I mean, again, all of this is basically happening because of the teens at the Stoneman Douglas School. I think it's one of the reasons, at least in my mind, they should be considered so far the prohibitive favorites for Turk of the Year so far because of what they've been able to accomplish. And as we will talk about later on, this is just the first in a series of upcoming major events. Actually, in not too many more weeks, we've got the big one in the March for to Save Their Lives in D.C. But I want to talk about some of the particular marches. Very significant schools took place in Colorado. Students at Columbine High School, they participated. They did 30 seconds of silence, 17 for the dead in Parkland and 13 for the dead of their own campus. Which I believe is, as I said, 19 years ago. There's coming up, they're going to have a march on that particular day too. But what's amazing about that is that you have kids who are participating in that march at Columbine, at the walkout, who weren't born when Columbine happened. But this is still a problem that we're trying to deal with, and there's been almost no actual progress. I mean, hell, at least when Columbine happened, there was an assault weapons ban that lapsed several years later. We don't have that again. We seem unable to get that again. But also, walkouts were expected in Newtown, Connecticut, where 26 people were killed at Sandy Hook. And there were also international marches. I saw in London, in Tanzania, with one teacher at the Tanzania school saying that, thankfully, we don't have an armed civilian population, so we don't have to deal with this, but they have empathy for those who do. In Israel and Iceland, one school had planned to, but it was unfortunately too cold. But we still appreciate the thought.
The Tanzania quote was the one that really struck me. I'll give you the exact quote. It was, "We are lucky to live in a country that is relatively gun-free, so it's not something our students have to think about," said teacher Courtney Park.
Yeah.
So luckily, they live in an African country like Tanzania where they're civilized and developed, unlike in America. Where we have to worry about nonstop massacres of our children. So that's the state of world affairs right now. And that's no joke. That's absolutely true. So, I mean, in Israel, American International School there also participated. But if you think about it, we're far less safe in America than students in Israel are. So I think roughly the chances of getting hit by a rocket launched by Hamas is about 10,000 times less than the chance of being killed in a school shooting in America or in a mass shooting in America. So look, you could do the math on it yourself. There's what, over 30,000 gun homicides a year in America. The number of people killed by terrorism in Israel is far less. My point isn't that terrorism isn't a real threat in Israel. My point is that the gun violence in America is 10,000 times a greater threat to us and our kids. Mm-hmm. And we go on about our lives like, oh, it's everything's fine, right? And we talk about foreign terrorists. No, the thing you have to worry about is us terrorizing ourselves with guns at a scale that the world has never seen. Yeah. Where other countries like Tanzania look at us and go, oh my God, who'd want to live in a violent, backwards place like America? That's where we are right now. And that's why they're doing the walkouts. And that's why it's super important. Finally, the Columbine was a huge marker for when we perceived the mass shootings at the schools to begin.
Yeah.
The reality is there were school shootings before, but it was on such a big scale that at the time we were not used to.
Yeah.
And so I remember that day. That was actually the very first day that I happened to be on TV.
Really?
That's right, because my producers got pulled from me to cover Columbine, and I had no idea what I was doing. Okay, and people had bigger problems. So that was 19 years ago, and now on April 20th, they're going to do another walkout this year because of Columbine. And we got used to the massacres in the schools until Parkland, where the students finally said, we're not going to take it anymore, because the adults aren't doing anything, which then reminds me of what happened down in Florida when they were discussing this piece of legislation. Again, they did a tiny piece of legislation saying there should be a 3-day waiting period. Wow. And the age for assault weapons should be 21 rather than 18. Okay, these are minuscule changes. The President Trump proposed universal background checks, which overwhelming majority of Americans agree with, including about 7 out of 10 NRA members say they should be universal background checks. 78% of gun owners say there should be universal background checks. And then also increasing the age to 21. And NRA said, how dare you? Get back in line. And Trump got back in line and withdrew those proposals. They control them completely. And then one legislator had the audacity in Florida to get up and say, These kids don't know what they're doing. This is not the place for them. This is a legislation is done by adults.
Yeah.
Well, how's that going for us? Those corrupt adults who keep taking money from the NRA, which gets it from gun manufacturers, which literally profits off of the death of our kids. How are the adults doing so far? So in this case, I'll take the kids over the adults any day.
I'm not an expert.
We need to talk about a relatively new show called the Republic, or UNFTR. As a Young Turks fan, you already know that the government, the media, and corporations are constantly peddling lies that serve the interests of the rich and powerful. But now there's a podcast dedicated to unraveling those lies, debunking the conventional wisdom. In each episode of the Republic, or UNFTR, the host delves into a different historical episode or topic that's generally misunderstood or purposely obfuscated by the so-called powers that be. Featuring in-depth research, razor-sharp commentary, and just the right amount of vulgarity, the UNFTR podcast takes a sledgehammer to what you thought you knew about some of the nation's most sacred historical cows. But don't just take my word for it. The New York Times described UNFTR as consistently compelling and educational, aiming to challenge conventional wisdom and upend the historical narratives that were taught in school. For as the great philosopher Yoda once put it, "You must unlearn what you have learned." And that's true whether you're in Jedi training or you're uprooting and exposing all the propaganda and disinformation you've been fed over the course of your lifetime. So search for UNFDR in your podcast app today and get ready to get informed, angered, and entertained all at the same time.
Like I was in the soft sciences, not the hard sciences. I'm not a biologist and everything, but I'm pretty sure that the basic idea, what evolution, you know, is supposed to produce, is adult animals that can stop their children from being killed. That is like the only thing you need to accomplish. If you can accomplish that, you're doing okay. And we can't do that. In fact, the kids have to stand up and do it for us. And I understand why that would be frustrating to the Republicans, and they've been launching ever increasingly disgusting attacks against especially the most high profile of the kids from Parkland. I'm not even going to repeat some of the things that it said, but they've been awful. But they've got this wake up call right now, and they're frustrated by the marches, they're frustrated by the walkout. No, you need to be scared for November, okay? Because if you're not doing anything, if you've accomplished nothing by then, it is going to be devastating for you, because some of these kids are 18. They'll be voting. Others are 17 or 16. And they will be voting the next time around. If you think that they'll have forgotten the risk to their lives from school shootings by the time they get to vote on your reelection, I think that's a pretty ridiculous way to approach the continuation of your career. Anyway, I do want to get to some of the speakers. So here are, I believe this is some of the students who spoke at the walkout events.
We will accept nothing less than comprehensive gun control. Yeah. And if it's what it takes, we will shame our national policymakers into protecting us. Yeah.
Together, we will get stricter gun reform because it is the right thing to do. We will expand background checks because it is the right thing to do. And we will optimize our psychiatric evaluations because it too is the right thing to do.
When the Commander-in-Chief's solution to this country's gun problem is more guns, you know we have a moral problem in this White House.
Our lives are worth more than the millions of NRA dollars dumped into political campaigns.
When national policymakers value the blood money of the NRA over the lives of children, you know we have a moral problem in the halls of Congress.
And on these issues, let me be clear. There is no compromise. We are not seeking a Republican solution or a Democratic solution. We are seeking an American resolution.
Yes. Their right to own an assault rifle does not outweigh our right to live.
Yes.
So let's revive the belief that individuals like my parents had in the promise of this country so that we can remove these profound feelings of fear and anxiety in what should be our safest institution.
The adults have failed us. This is in our hands now. And if any elected official gets in our way, we will vote them out and replace them ourselves. Enough is enough. Enough is enough.
Okay, let me tell you how to do that. tytnetwork.com/register. That does not go to our website. It redirects to a government website where you can register. It has a messy URL. That's why we use this link. And the link will be down below in the video. Please, whatever state you're in, if you're in high school and you've turned 18, you're in college, or you're just a decent human being and you care to end the massacres of our children, go to tytnetwork.com/register. Find out how to register in your state. Find out when primaries are in your states. Find out how you could mail in ballots in your states. Go out there and vote, vote, vote. Otherwise, the current politicians are not going to do anything about the massacre of our kids.
Yeah. Yeah, so we also have some of those politicians were coming out to support the marchers. If there were Republicans, I didn't see anything about it. I can't discount the possibility that there were. Seems bizarre that they wouldn't want to get involved with this, but I don't have any evidence that they did. However, BuzzFeed did capture video of some dozens of Democratic lawmakers and staff walking down the steps of the Capitol to join the protest. We're going to just play a video right now of two. You're probably going to recognize them, especially one. Here they are speaking at the walkouts today.
I'm proud to be here with Yana and Aaron Turow. Aaron organized with Congressman Ted Deutch of Florida, our leader on this issue. Representing in Congress the students who have sacrificed so much, spoken so eloquently, commanded the attention of the nation. Aaron has helped organize the Congressional Solidarity Walkout that all of us are honored to be a part of. The Congressional Solidarity Walkout. Yeah. We're all moved by your eloquence and your fearless insistence on action to prevent gun violence. Thank you for bringing your urgency to this fight to the doorstep of America.
All across this country, people are sick and tired of gun violence, and the time is now for all of us together to stand up to the enemy and prepare common sense gun legislation. So I just want to thank all of you for your courage and for your intelligence and for leading the nation in the right direction. Thank you.
So pretty much everyone reporting on this said that Bernie Sanders received an amazing reception. We don't have the video, but one of the kids, when he first walks out, someone yells, "Holy S, it's Bernie Sanders."
Yeah.
So they were big fans.
I actually have slightly mixed feelings about the politicians coming out. On the one hand, the students organize this amazing protest, and for the Democrats to walk out and join them is a powerful sign supporting their action and saying, hey, you got our attention, and this is wonderful, and we encourage it. And people like Senator Murphy have more than earned the right to be there fighting for gun control all along, through all the tough times. So, on the other hand, seeing like Democratic politicians grab the mic, I want it to be organic, and it is, and these students have done an amazing job of organizing all of this. So, I don't want it to be dismissed as something political. On the third hand, if you have one, is Bernie Sanders out there with a megaphone, not at the podium, but out there in a megaphone. When he walks out, and the crowd goes nuts, and then. If Bernie feels like he's one of them, as opposed to one of the adults, right? Mm. I mean, I think that Washington would look at that derisively, but I think that young people in America look at that with a lot of, if I might say so, love, right? Yeah. Like, he's here, he's got our back on this. And by the way, Bernie was, you know, has some issues with voting on gun control in the past. Let's just keep it real on that. Now he's strong today in fighting against it. That's why I give Senator Murphy a lot of credit, because he's been strong throughout. And so you have to be realistic about the positions of everybody, no matter who you support. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so even Pelosi, Schumer coming out there and kind of getting the back of the kids, I like a lot, right? Mm-hmm. On the other hand, like the camera space was taken up a lot by the politicians.
Well, at that point, after
I know,
the students
I know,
speaking.
I know.
Look,
but
I think as long as they're actually doing the right thing, I mean, there's some politicians, even on the Democratic side, that take money from the NRA and don't have a good record on this. Certainly, and we usually point them out, but we also know that this is one of the most lopsided issues between the Republicans and the Democrats, and I mean, they at one point they passed an assault weapons ban, and they would pass, you know, a limitation on the capacity, high capacity magazines and things like that. So this is one of the issues where I think at least the people that were speaking there seem to uniformly be right on the issues at the very least. Really fast, I do want to point out there was a response to some extent from the other side. Now, I didn't see the Republican politicians go out there, even the ones who might be a little bit supportive of gun control measures. But the NRA did send out a tweet. So if we could jump ahead to graphic 26, you're going to see a little image. I'll control my own guns, thank you.
Oh, great. So kids from across the country are worried about being massacred in schools, and your message to them is to put a picture of an assault weapon and basically threaten them.
Yeah.
Well,
that's the weapon that was used against them.
To kill them, to murder them. But hey, you guys are really tough, and at least you're making a buck, right? Oh, hey, yeah. Those weapons manufacturers, every shooting, more people buy guns. They love those shootings. At least we know where your loyalties lie, which leads me to the final quote from Maya Homan, who was one of the students that protested in Palo Alto, California. She said, 17 people are dead, and I'm no longer willing to listen to politicians who deem my life less valuable than a piece of metal.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and on the NRA, I know that for a couple hundred years in our country, we had a pretty good idea of the limitations of the Second Amendment, but it was admittedly written in a pretty vague way. I mean, there's well regulated in there, seems clear enough, but there's enough ambiguity for some courts. And so I think, you know, hopefully in the very near future, we're going to have some sort of constitutional convention to get money out of politics. And when that happens, we can put other things up there. And I think that we need to redemonstrate to the American people that even the amendments can be amended. And at the end of the day, I don't know what should remain of the Second Amendment. Maybe there will be something, but I think it should look drastically different than it does today, because you have psychotic organizations like the NRA hiding behind a ridiculous interpretation of an overly vague amendment, and that is being used to allow for the continued slaughter of our kids. Something needs to change.
Okay, I just got to clarify. Fortunately or unfortunately, conventions can only be done on a single issue. So you'd have to do a separate convention on the Second Amendment.
Okay.
But that, hey,
there's a national
I believe
movement
in conventions. Yes. Look, I don't know to what degree I should be insulting of conservatives. I think probably pretty high degree. And tomorrow I'm planning a segment to prove how cowardly they are overall. But I know a lot of them don't believe in education, so they can't read. But it says a well-regulated militia in the Second Amendment. Are you stupid? Can you not read? And that goes all the way up to the conservative justice on the Supreme Court. I thought you said strict constructionist. I thought you said, no, I'm just going to stick with the text. The text says in the Second Amendment. That is why I'm not even sure we need to fix it. It says, for a well-regulated militia. What part of this is well-regulated, let alone a militia?
Yeah.
So apparently, you're not very smart, and that's not surprising coming from conservatives. So I keep having to educate your dumbass. Okay, let's take a quick break. We got one more story on guns, and then Conor Lamb victory and what we can learn from it. And of course, all the wrong lessons the Democratic Party will immediately learn. So we'll do that when we return. Thanks for listening to this podcast. You're only halfway through, so hold, stay right here. Just want to remind you, if you want to get all 5 segments of the Young Turks commercial free, these are just 2 of them. Every day we do it. So go to tytnetwork.com/join, and you get the whole 5 segments, 2 hours, ad free. Do it now. All right, back on the Young Turks, Cenk and John with you guys. After today's show, I'm going to have Rebel Headquarters, and we're going to have Jaden Speed, who is a 13-year-old who organized one of the walkouts in Nebraska. He is the founder of Young Reports. So Rebel Headquarters is for all progressive activities. And so I love having one of the students on there, so that should be great. Speaking of Rebel Headquarters, a former guest, Allison Hartson, probably a future guest as well.
Maybe. Yeah. We'll see if we can fit her in.
Yeah. Currently running for senator in California, and she's doing a Reddit AMA tomorrow, guys, and I wanted to let you know about that. 9 to 11 a.m. Pacific time. Okay, so noon to to 2 Eastern. So that's Thursday, March 15th, Reddit AMA for Allison Hartson.
I noticed that it's being held on Sanders for President.
Huh, interesting. Yes. Interesting. Well, that appears to be the subreddit.
I can understand why you might do that.
Perhaps because they agree on a lot of issues. Yeah. Old Turk says, "Hey, it's Johnny Pie Day." Okay, hey. It is indeed.
Oh, but I'm going. Yesterday.
Yeah.
No, it is today. Yeah, I think.
It's It's not just Pie Day. It's Johnny Pie Day.
Yeah, I don't know what date it is actually.
It is. It's March 14th.
Okay, I was checking mentally.
Okay.
I'm very tired.
Peter Hamby writes in on YouTube Super Chat. Most of the reason for Columbine was because of the failure of police monitoring Harris and Klebold during the series of illegal activities before April 20th of 1999. Today it's too far. No more. Hashtag walk out.
If I could plug TYT Interviews, they have a piece up right now actually about another, someone saw some social media activity about impending violence, reported to the FBI, nothing was done, reported again, I believe after Parkland, if I'm getting that right, and nothing is being done right now. And so you can read that on TYT Interviews.
And Can't Afford It, also on YouTube.
Sorry, TYT Investigates, I apologize.
I was going to say you could read
TYT
it.
Yeah, TYT Investigates, sorry.
Yes.
As I said, I'm tired.
You could obviously catch that on our website, tytnetwork.com, and then go to investigates. Okay, or just tytnetwork.com/investigates. All right, Can't Afford It on YouTube, Super Chat says, total and complete shutdown of gun sales in the United States until our country's representatives can figure out what's going on. Mm-hmm. Right? And apparently good enough for Muslims for Donald Trump, but not good enough for the thing that actually causes over 30,000 deaths every year. And then Gabby Morita says the adults have failed us, might be the quote of the year. Mark Halagua says those kids are amazing, wish that the politicians, especially the Dems, were so hard hitting. And finally, Leverian says, hear that sound, corporate Dems, referring to when Bernie Sanders was receiving a huge ovation from the kids. That's the sound of the next generation of voters cheering, quote, too old, quote, unreasonable socialist. Got to stock up on ponies. Because they're coming at you to get them.
That was complicated at the end, but yeah.
Yeah, but we got it. Hey, Leverian, you made us laugh. Free t-shirt from shoptyt.com.
Yeah. It's super fast. On the whole amending the Second Amendment thing, like I know that people who are very pro-gun would hear that and they get really scared, like, oh, they're going to take away all the guns. Some people might want that version of it. But I think, honestly, right now, if you're pro-gun, the Second Amendment is far too vague to actually protect your interests, because who knows what the next set of judges are going to interpret it to mean or not mean? The interpretation has changed so much. So I think whether you're pro-gun control or you're for keeping the current status or you want to open it up, the current Second Amendment serves no one with the way that it's worded, and so it desperately needs to be amended.
All right.
Anyway, moving on. We've got a little bit more guns for you. One of the only policies that consistently, at least recently, many in the GOP are willing to support to ostensibly do something about gun violence in schools is to flood schools with tens or hundreds of thousands of additional firearms. And you saw that with the recent bill in Florida where they want to arm 37,000 teachers. And Donald Trump is a big fan of that. The NRA is a big fan of that. If that were to happen federally, then you're talking about potentially a million or more extra guns in schools. Now, the problem with that policy is, what if that were to lead to more accidental shootings? Coming to demonstrate that for you this week is a teacher at Seaside High School who accidentally fired his gun in class, injuring multiple students. So this teacher, and I want to be very clear about this, was a reserve officer for the local police department and had been trained previously in the use of firearms multiple times over the course of years. This is a gun adept teacher, as Donald Trump would say. The teacher fired the gun into the ceiling, thankfully, although some kind of debris or fragmentation struck a 17-year-old student in the neck. The student's father told KSBW8 that the student returned home from school with bullet fragments in his neck. There were two other students who were injured as well, although I don't know if they had bullet fragments specifically. The Sand City police chief said the teacher had been a reserve officer for 11 years and was both positive and professional. This wasn't some psycho. He'd had his last gun safety training less than a year ago, and we can expect that that was the last of multiple sets of gun training. And yet, you have a gunshot accidentally that injures students, thankfully doesn't kill anyone this time.
Let's note again the irony that he was teaching a gun safety lesson when he fired the bullet that left bullet fragments lodged in the neck of one of his students. And we don't tell you this, and we said it at the time when Florida decided to arm 37,000 teachers, because we think that the teachers are bad guys. We don't think that this guy is necessarily particularly incompetent. I know that gun owners love every time to point out, no, I wouldn't do that. It's that one guy. I mean, who would bring in a gun with that's already loaded and has one in the chamber? And You would.
Yeah.
You do it all the time. That's why there's over 500 accidental deaths, let alone the number of thousands of accidental shootings throughout the year. Every year, over 500 people killed because people are people. They're human beings. They make mistakes. Sometimes I make a mistake on the show and I say the wrong word. No one dies. When you make a mistake with a gun inside a school, you get bullet fragments in students' necks.
Yeah.
And thank God nobody was actually killed in this. But people are gonna make mistakes. And when they make mistakes with guns, people die. And in this case, it's gonna be kids at schools.
Yeah, and that 500, I mean, that's scary enough as it is. But what about that? What will that 500 become with a million additional guns in school every day? And even if, like, I know that you don't want to, but if we were to accept what this individual says, who might be watching the video, it says, I'm responsible with my guns. That's fine. You're responsible with your guns. But you're not going to be in the classroom when your kid's there with a bunch of teachers who are now armed. It is going to be a bunch of randos that you can't control. You are sure of your own training. Are you so sure of theirs? I don't think most parents actually are.
And this was a reserve police officer, but most of the teachers that will be trained are just teachers. You know, your gym teacher, your librarian, you're positive the librarian will be trained well enough to be able to know which student to shoot in case of emergency. And by the way, what does the NRA do? The NRA took another massacre of our kids and said, great, now let's get our sellout politicians who we all bribed to pay for a million new guns in the schools so there could be more shootings, and then we'll get them to pay for a million new guns. And that way the gun manufacturers make more money while your kids continue to die.
Yeah. Yeah. Thankfully, the ceiling was not armed. We don't know what would have happened had that been the case. But perhaps the students who don't want bullet fragments on their neck, perhaps they should bring guns to school next time. No, thankfully not. It's not actually the solution. Okay, why don't we mix things up? Okay. It took until this morning for us to be able to say for sure, actually a little bit later than the morning on the Pacific, but we can now definitively say that Conor Lamb, the Democrat, has beaten the Republican Rick Saccone in Pennsylvania's 18th Congressional District special election. It was a real nail biter. It went until very, very late today. And we ended the election day with them within 1,000 votes of each other. But you can now see in this chart the final breakdown of the vote. If you could bring up graphic 43.
At TYT, we frequently talk about all the ways that big tech companies are taking control of our online lives, constantly monitoring us and storing and selling our data. But that doesn't mean we have to let them. It's possible to stay anonymous online and hide your data from the prying eyes of big tech. And one of the best ways is with ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN hides your IP address, making your active ID more difficult to trace and sell to advertisers. ExpressVPN also encrypts 100% of your network data to protect you from eavesdroppers and cyber criminals. And it's also easy to install. A single mouse click protects all your devices. But listen, guys, this is important. ExpressVPN is rated number one by CNET and Wired magazine. So take back control of your life online and secure your data with a top VPN solution available, ExpressVPN. And if you go to expressvpn.com/TYT, you can get 3 extra months for free with this exclusive link just for TYT fans. That's expressvpn.com/TYT. Check it out today.
You're going to see that Conor Lamb is at 49.8% of the vote to Rick Saccone's 49.6% of the vote. And that looks like we're looking at less than 700 votes separating them. Two things are interesting about that. One is that that is almost nothing, again reminding us that our votes do count and we need to vote, we need to organize, we need to get more people to register, because in elections like this, that is so important. But secondly, that is far lower than the votes of Drew Miller, Libertarian, who I saw tweeted yesterday that he's on the brink of becoming the most hated man by Republicans in the country.
Yeah.
Again, we don't know that if they hadn't voted for Drew Miller, they would have voted for Rick Saccone, but perhaps some would have.
Well, hard to tell because those voters are now in a Saccone of silence. Okay, I'll be here all week. So
do you have to be?
Yeah, I know that's the question all of America is asking right now. So it's not the libertarian. It's every time. No, it's the third party.
I know. I'm third looking party. I'm saying he tweeted that. Okay. That's why I thought it was worthy of mentioning.
Yeah. So lessons learned here. But before we get to that, quick side note for me. I would do a recount. And in this case, I'm thrilled that Lamb won instead of Saccone. Lamb is not very progressive, so I'm not thrilled on that count, but I would much rather have Lamb than Saccone, who's famous for saying that he was Trump before Trump was Trump. So I got no interest in that dude. Okay. So I'm happy that, very happy that Lamb won. But in close elections, I know it costs a little bit of money, but I never think that it's a big deal to do a recount. Everybody's always like, oh my God, recount, it's outrageous. It's not outrageous. Mm-hmm. When it's really close, under 1%, it should be normal. It should be standard operating procedure throughout the country. In the case of Pennsylvania, it is not.
Yeah.
So they will not have a recount. Connor Lamb is the congressman. So I'm happy about that today, but on another day, we might not be so happy about it.
Yeah.
So now that was my aside. In terms of lessons learned, everybody's just going to interpret it for their own advantage.
No.
Now, of course. So the establishment Democrats here have a perfectly good case. Let's just keep it real, right? They say, hey, Ron Moore is Republican light, and Connor Lamb in some ways did. Emphasized that he was pro-guns, he was pro-life, but he would vote pro-choice. You know, kind of splitting the baby, if you will. Ooh, bad analogy in that case.
Do we know if that works?
I don't think it does.
I don't know.
But today, since he won and it was a district that Trump had won by 20 points, every establishment Democrat in the Washington will be screaming, it works, it works. You see, it just worked.
Yeah.
And I'm giving the devil his due, right? And I'm saying, okay, like they got a case to make in the case of Connor Lamb because he ran a little bit to the right and it was not a disaster. In fact, it went well. Now, so let's set the context here. Democrats overall since Trump's election have been beating the spread by 16 points.
Why don't we bring up graphic 24 while you're talking about this?
All right. So let's take a look at graphic 24 to give you a sense of this, okay? And so in Lamb's case though, to give him further credit, he beat the spread by 22 points as you see at the bottom there, okay? So the average is 16 points and he won by 22, so that's 6 more. Now, first of all, let's again do a very important side note here to say how screwed the Republicans are. Those are devastating numbers for the Republicans.
Utah's okay.
Yeah. I mean, but South Carolina isn't. Kansas isn't. Montana isn't.
23 points in Kansas.
Alabama isn't.
That's crazy.
So those are giant numbers against the Republicans. If those hold in the midterm elections, the Democrats will pick up anywhere from, I've seen estimates from 30 to 50 seats, okay? But, you know, 30 to 40 is the most common range. They only need, now with Connor Lamb winning, they only need 23 more seats to be the majority in the House of Representatives. So now, I just gave you the establishment case for Connor Lamb. He ran to the right on those issues. On the other hand, when you asked Connor Lamb and when you tracked him, yes, he said all those things. But what was the number one issue that he ran on? Protecting Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. That's as progressive as it gets. And so now I know a lot of politicians pretend to be progressive during an election. Even Trump pretended to be progressive on that issue and then later proposed to cut Medicare and obviously devastated Medicaid, right? But Trump would say, oh, I'm not like a standard Republican. I will never touch those things. Why? The country, especially on those issues, are overwhelmingly progressive. So the number one issue that he ran on was one that we agree with. We should increase Social Security. We should protect Medicare and expand it to cover everyone, etc. So there's a case to be made on both sides here.
Yeah, and so that's what he was running on. I believe, I don't have all the articles in front of me anymore, but I believe that if you ask the population what were the most important issues, I think that the highest one might have been healthcare. And if you break it down, he won, I think, about 2/3 of the vote on health care. And it looked, I mean, any change to this election could have flipped it the other way. And so he won 2/3 by saying the standard thing, ACA is great, we should expand ACA, all that stuff. But imagine if he was stronger on that issue. He won 2/3. What if he'd won 75%, 80%, 90% of it? Then it wouldn't have even been a close election. And if people liked, you know, the ACA and expansion, maybe something that actually insured everybody and controlled costs and all of that, something like single payer Medicare for all, maybe that this wouldn't have even had to have been a nail biter. We could have wrapped this thing up at 8 p.m. Eastern time last night.
Yeah, but I now want to go back to the second biggest issue he ran on. And this is based on what his campaign says. So the second biggest issue was protecting the unions. Also a deeply progressive issue. Mm-hmm. In fact, Brent Welder running Kansas 3rd District is crushing the current Republican opponent incumbent by about 7 points with not anywhere near the money that Kevin Yoder has in that district. And he's a union lawyer. He was a union lawyer, right? So the corporate Democrats tell us all the time, oh, unions, nah, like teachers are union. No. Now, a lot of times they take union money, but when like Obama, when it came to protecting the unions and their rights, all of a sudden he couldn't find his walking boots. And all of a sudden, Karchuk didn't, nope, not going to do it. You attacking the unions in Wisconsin, nope, not going to show up at the protests. Not going to do it, not going to do it. But when it comes to winning elections, all of a sudden they're progressives. Oh, the unions, time for the unions. Even the Republicans, a Republican consultant said, the problem with Rick Saccone was that he wasn't union enough. Now, look, that's a particularly union district in Pennsylvania's 18th district, okay? But that's a hell of a thing when Republicans say, God damn it, we should have supported the unions more. Okay, so take that into consideration as well.
I'm not a political consultant. I'm not an expert. Maybe I don't know nothing. It's entirely possible. But if it helps you to win an election by being pro-union around the election, how much more will it help you win the election if you're always pro-union and you demonstrate it throughout your term? Seems like you could probably clinch a lot of elections that way. But again, I'm not an expert. One last thing I want to show, by the way, is so we broke down the 16-point average spread in the special elections. This is something I talked about earlier today. And look, it's a few. You don't know how much you can actually interpret from just a few special elections. And it's still a long way out. Does it really mean anything? Let's bring up this final chart, graphic 25. This is a historic change between special election average amounts and the actual vote once you get to the general election. And you're seeing there that, yes, it can be off by a little bit, but ain't off by that much. It isn't off by 16 points or 20 points or whatever. And so what you're seeing there is that this is probably indicative of something pretty serious later on this year. And one of the things that I'm most excited about, I mean, this sort of thing could obviously affect races like Ted Cruz, his reelection effort. But like that last night, that was a plus 20 Trump district. If you start looking at the people in the House that are in less than a plus 20 Trump district, I mean, you got Devin Nunes, you've got Paul Ryan. I believe his was four points. You think Paul Ryan can overcome that?
Speaking of unions, Iron Stash is running against Paul Ryan in that district. We're going to take out the Speaker of the House. So Randy Bryce, go find out about him. He's another Justice Democrat, and he's going to crush Paul Ryan. Look, hey, Republicans, you don't want to take it seriously? Wonderful, fantastic. And I love their excuses this morning. My favorite was, there's two great ones. Substantively, the best one was, Lamb outraised Saccone. He raised more money. Yeah, but you're leaving out the independent expenditures. Saccone, because of all the dark money and the super PACs, outspent Lamb. So he outspent Lamb and lost anyway. So where's your money excuse? And the leader of the Republicans in the House for their reelection efforts said, oh, so this sends a message. It's a wake up call. I was like, oh, good. At least they get it. He's like, we got to raise more money. No. Thank God you missed it entirely. Okay. So, but my favorite excuse was one Republican blamed it on Saccone's porn stash. They said his mustache was disgusting, and that's why he lost. That's why you think he lost?
He's got a point.
No, wonderful. Raise more money from billionaire donors and multinational corporations and big banks, and rest on your laurels, and then we'll find out in November if that 20-point swing is real or not.
Yeah. Yeah, I personally have to say that I think the best one was on Fox and Friends when Brian Kilmeade agreed with one of the other hosts, and he said, you know what? Cuteness matters. Kyle Lamb was cute. Maybe it does matter, but Trump was still able to win. It don't matter that much.
Yes.
Cuteness matters.
No. Kill me's right. I think Republicans should just pick cuter candidates.
Yeah.
Problem solved.
I think cuteness is worth 20 points, give or take, in an election. Okay.
All right, we got to take a break, guys. When we come back, more fun news for you guys, including if you thought the Russian bots were bad, wait till you get a load of the Democratic bots. Mm-hmm. Ooh, Jerome's, they're back. Thanks for watching what I hope was a lovely edition of the Young Turks. Now, you know that is two of the five segments that we do because that's free. We want to have you support independent media and come watch the whole show that we do every day. That's five segments overall, no ads at all. That's at tytnetwork.com/join. Come become a member. Thanks for watching either way. Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Young Turks. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, Cenk Uygur, and I'll see you soon.